Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
We just have to know that about the world in which we're living. We are not of this world. This world cannot forgive. It cannot listen with understanding. It is not willing to love as our Lord loves.
We're not left in this sort of a vapid world trying to figure out, what does God want me to do? What's he want me to do? He's told us. We study his will. We study the commandments. We study his word.
We cannot understand the gospel and the depth of God's love, what true love is, unless we understand that there is such a thing as hell, that there is such a thing as condemnation and judgment.
Hi, this is Jeff from Lithia, Florida. Beloved on-demand treadmill runners, love issues, etc.
It has become obvious, it was obvious from the very beginning, that communism, this massive, global, failed experiment that some are still experimenting with, was, if nothing else, hostile to Christianity, maybe religion in general, but Christianity in particular. Why is that? And why is it that as much as communist regimes attempted to wipe out Christianity, killing people, sending people to death camps, making the religious activities illegal, Christianity continued to thrive. As much as Christians suffered themselves, Christianity and the faith was strengthened in that persecution. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, April the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Lutheran education under communism for the first half hour of the program. Blythe Amberetto will join us. A little bit later, Rebecca Curtis will be our guest to talk about Christian places you can visit during your summer vacation. Yes, we can even call them pilgrimages. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us for This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we'll answer the question, does God need your permission to act in this world? Somebody says, many people are saying, he does. We'll see what Chris has to say. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play our four soundbites, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a vote via Twitter @IssuesETC, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. When we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Joining us to talk about Lutheran education under communism, Blythe Amberetto, academic dean at Lutheran High North in Houston, Texas, author of an article for Octum Missio Logia titled Comrades and Confirmands, Lutheran Education Under Communism in Slovakia. Blythe, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
What is your connection to Slovakia?
So my husband and I worked at the Center for Christian Education in Martin, Slovakia for 3 years. So I taught high school religion, English, and I was our international communications director. And it's an amazing Lutheran institution with over 800 students and families hearing the gospel every day. And when I first moved to Martin, it had a nickname called the Miracle in Martin for its success of spreading the gospel after communism. And to be honest, I didn't know a lot about communism or the history of Slovakia when we moved there. But as I started to hear these stories from my colleagues and from people that I met, I wanted to learn more. And I actually happened to be working on my Master's of Arts in Religion from Concordia University Chicago. My supervising professor, Dr. Korchak, had a tie to Slovakia. So we started researching the topic for my thesis of Lutheran education under communism. And so the research I have is from primary and secondary sources, and also 65 survey interviews that I conducted with people who were either confirmed under communism or were pastors during that time.
Why does this particular topic interest you?
So when I moved to Slovakia, I just wanted to learn more about communism. It came up a lot as I was learning about our school, and pretty much everyone there refers to the days of communism. So just because I was in the classroom, I wanted to learn more, especially with the connection with religion, as communism has the ideology of atheism.
You mentioned the dozens of interviews that you did with people who were raised under communism. You tell a story from one of them about a communist official addressing a Slovakia kindergarten class. Tell us that story.
Yeah, so this was one of the first stories that was shared with me in my research. And basically it comes from someone who is now a Christian, who was a teacher of kindergarten under communism. And he tells the story of being in his class with six-year-olds when this communist official comes in and starts addressing his class. And basically he gives them the typical spiel. They might hear their grandparents talk about God, and God is this kind of nice fairy tale that their grandparents need. But these kids are smart. They know God's not real, and they're going to be smarter than their grandparents. And at the end of his little spiel to the six-year-olds, he asks if he can pray the Lord's Prayer with them. And the kids kind of look confused. The teacher is confused. But he starts to pray, and the kids are praying along. And when he gets to "Give us this day our daily bread," he pauses. And he says, "Well, look around. Where is your bread?" And the kids look around, and they're kind of confused. And he says, "You know, you prayed for bread. You asked God for bread. Where is it?" And the kids start to get upset that they haven't got this bread they prayed for. So the official claps his hands, and that signals another official to come into the room. And he's carrying a plate of bread and sweets. And he says, "You see, children, it is not God who provides for you. It's the Communist Party."
So how would you argue that atheism isn't just a bug in communism, but actually a feature of communism?
So many people would argue that communism is actually a world religion. Karl Marx, the founder of modern communism, says that communism begins with atheism. And in communism, basically, Christianity gets in the way. It distracts people from the material. And Christians are painted as these unintelligent bigots who are creating separatism and division when communism just wants to bring everyone together. And we see this not just in Slovakia, but pretty much everywhere communism has been implemented.
Blythe, when did communism begin in Slovakia?
Communism began in 1948 and lasted until 1989. And I would like to point out that at the time it was Czechoslovakia. However, my research just focused on Slovakia. The two had very different experiences, even though they were united.
Religiously, what was Slovakia like before communism?
So before communism, Slovakia was a Christian nation. Census shows that before World War II, 80% of people claimed to be Christian. And actually the 1930s had a revival in Christianity as well.
So did communism, when it took over in Slovakia, actually outlaw Christianity?
Well, technically, no. The 1960 Constitution actually reaffirmed freedom of religion. However, there was a huge shift from freedom of religion to essentially freedom of worship within a controlled environment.
How was religion restricted then under communism in Slovakia?
So Clement Gottwald, who was the chairman of the party towards the beginning of communism, declared the church to be the last and most dangerous enemy of the state. And towards the beginning, they were imprisoning pastors and having show trials. However, this actually strengthened people's faith. And that's what I found in my interviews, is that this inspired people. And I think the party probably caught on to that as well. So what they decided to do was combine the church and state and hope to break the church down from within through means of government control. So basically, they closed Christian schools, they closed Christian social orders. You needed a permit for Bible study. There was no more right to associate and gather. It was illegal to import Christian material. They controlled the press and the print, and really just limited religion to the church. So then they instituted the Slovak Law 217 in 1949, which established the State Office for Church Affairs. And basically, within this office, all spirituality required a license. And those that had a license were pastors. But at this point, pastors were employees of the state, were trained by the state, and had to answer to the state directly.
You say that the communist regime still wanted to appear pro-religious. Why and how?
Yes, so this is one of my very interesting findings. Actually, Carol Kaplan, who's a Czech historian, said that the first move of the state was to appear pro-religious. And he actually argues it's a bigger deal to say that they weren't pro-religious than it was to just practice Christianity. And really, it's because of their population being primarily Christian. And interestingly, their strategy was to absorb the church and pay for everything and say, oh, look, no, we're pro-religion. Look, we're paying pastors. We're the ones supporting the churches. We're keeping the doors open. But basically, when they flipped the bill for things, it came with control. So I had one pastor who was telling me that he was reassigned to the army simply for not asking permission for putting on a church Christmas program. So that's what I mean by that kind of control, but trying to appear like it's, you know, they're pro-religious because they're paying for it.
When it comes to the actual religious instruction and catechesis, how did communist control shape the religious instruction that was being done?
So basically the goal of communism was that Christianity would die out with the older generation. So youth became the primary target. In the past, they had youth groups, Bible studies, and schools, but those were, for the most part, the schools were closed, Bible studies weren't happening. So that's why I focused on confirmation, because it was the most consistently practiced legal form, because it was technically deemed a rite, which could still exist within the church.
What role did propaganda play, not only in religious education, but education period in Slovakia?
So with the closing of Christian schools, all kids were at public schools. And within these schools, they were being taught what's called scientific atheism. And what's interesting is, like in our Christian schools, how we integrate Christ into the classroom, teachers were actually given methodological aids to integrate atheism into the classroom. So, for example, if you taught history, you would teach Christianity alongside of Greek and Roman mythology. And the teachers were also in charge of what's called, like, worldview tracking. So they would keep track of what students believed. They would report that. Typically, for you to go on to the next level of education, you needed approval from your headmaster. And oftentimes, those headmasters would demand that you have adopted a scientific atheist worldview.
Why did the communist regime allow schools to conduct religion classes?
So this is really interesting. This is my original idea for my thesis. However, when I brought it up to my colleagues, half of them had never even heard of this happening, and they grew up in communist Slovakia. So in some places, during only some time, pastors were allowed to come to schools and teach religion class during the day. And basically, they think it was to appear pro-religion, to make the West think they had more freedom. But really, likely, it was a means to track students. I actually had a pastor tell me that he thinks it was to show how well the schools were doing in teaching atheism. And if they had so few kids sign up, then they didn't even have to offer it. So he said that the principal of his children's school actually asked him not to enroll his own children so that they could look good to the government and not even offering the class.
Well, Ivan Barreto is our guest academic dean at Lutheran High North in Houston, Texas. We are talking about Lutheran education under communism. Stay tuned.
When God decided to love you, he wasn't content to sort of love you at a distance. He wanted to get up close when that happened, which is why Christ took on human flesh.
Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But even after Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, God still wanted to dwell with you through the flesh and blood of his Son. He wanted to be physically present and in the room when he covered you in forgiveness and life and salvation. So that's why he's given his church the Lord's Supper
And that's why we should rejoice every time God comes into the room and invites us to feast on the same flesh and the same blood that won our salvation at Calvary.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the Lord's Supper at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The LCMS Youth Gathering is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During April, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the LCMS Youth Gathering. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
I would say we should be very cautious in shifting from freedom of religion to freedom of worship, which ultimately becomes a facade of freedom.
Now the priest is that corpse hanging on an instrument of execution in a garbage pit somewhere in Jerusalem.
The problem isn't that journalists hate religious people. They actually love religious people whose doctrine basically agrees with the editorial page of the New York Times.
The Lord says, in a little while, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. A little while, my glory is going to come into the temple. In a little while. And then the people would say, well, your little while is very different from our little while.
Next hour, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Those four soundbites played in their entirety. You pick one to be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, we're talking about Lutheran education under communism. Blythe Ann Barreto is our guest, author of an article for Acta Missiologia titled Comrades and Confirmands, Lutheran Education Under Communism in Slovakia. Blythe, what were Lutheran catechesis and confirmation like in Slovakia under communism?
Well, the key with confirmation and catechesis through confirmation is that it had to be a rite, and that's actually what made it legal. They couldn't have Bible studies, youth groups. It had to be a rite of the church. So it had to end in communion and official membership. So it was taught by a pastor, who were the people who had the license to do spiritual things. However, it greatly varied in experiences.
How would you describe the interaction of catechesis and government control among the Lutherans at that time?
So this is very interesting to me as well, that communism pushes this idea of equality. We all have the same experience. However, there was so much variety in the responses to these questions. So some people said they had no control. Others said they controlled everything. In the laity, they would say it depends on where you live. Some of them said that they experienced nothing. However, they are now aware 27 years after the fall of communism that it was happening. It should also be noted that the material was given by the state. They couldn't import their own material. Pastors often complained of having to paint the state in a positive light. Also, the training was done by the state for pastors. One Lutheran theologian said that he thinks they made it kind of boring on purpose compared to the fun and exciting communist youth activities. But probably the biggest role where we see control was within the office of the pastors. Again, that varied on the time and location and also who the pastor was and what they chose to do. So in small villages, there wasn't as much control. In larger cities and at different times, there was a lot of perceived control. I'll give you kind of three examples of what some pastors told me. One said he was actually told not to teach a lesson of application, but just the facts. Another one told me that he was given incentives, or he actually turned down the incentives, to confirm as few people as possible. And another said that he could only teach specific state-approved subjects. that he had to run everything by their local official before he could teach the material.
Were there any people, either those who conducted or went through catechesis at that time, that didn't sense any influence of communism at all?
Yeah, some of them did. Like there was one girl I interviewed who said that she had no idea that the government cared about confirmation. But on the day of her confirmation, there was randomly this girl from Prague and Bratislava, these bigger cities, in their class. And the reason that they were there is because they would get in huge trouble if they were confirmed in their own town. So some people said there was none. I would also like to note that there was a lot of pastors who didn't go along with the state, who chose to ignore their regulations and were punished for that. So it just depended on the pastor and the local officials and really the time and place as well.
Were there penalties for being confirmed?
So even though confirmation was legal, it doesn't mean that there was free from consequences. So some people never experienced consequences, but other people did. Again, it was varied. But because Christians were painted as unintelligent and not smart enough to compete with other people, usually the consequence would have to do with their further studying or even their future career. So basically, if they were confirmed, it was right around the time that they would try to go to high school. And one interviewee told me that her teacher actually said, "I don't care how good your grades are. If I find out any of you are confirmed, you are not going to high school." And lots of people were actually shocked when they were denied entry into the schools they wanted to go to, and have since found out it was because of their Christian worldview, which was deemed unintelligent. Actually, another person I interviewed said that they had to be confirmed in secret, not only because his mom was a teacher and would have lost her job for letting her kid get confirmed, but because he was actually the head of his communist youth party at school and had become a Christian for a friend and had to keep it secret, otherwise he would get in trouble. And the last thing I wanted to share with that was kind of interesting. Somebody I interviewed, who's now a pastor, was confirmed under communism and said he never really felt there was much pressure or influence from the state, but when they left the building after being confirmed, there was an official outside writing down all of their names to make sure he reported who exactly was confirmed in that village.
You say that communist restrictions on formal catechesis actually empowered the laity. How so?
Well, basically, the theme was you really couldn't trust many people besides your family. Even your teachers, you know, could be reporting on you. And really, this shifted the focus back to the family. There was such a limited means to learn and express the faith that families were really responsible for handing down the faith. And it's interesting that communism basically tried to paint Christianity as the faith of grandparents, but that actually backfired because it was these grandparents who actually kept the faith alive. And many people that I talked to who are still believers today attributed that to their family and not to the church.
What was it like to interview so many people who actually lived under the restrictions, not only religious, but all the restrictions of communism?
It was honestly incredibly moving. There were many interviews where I would tear up and it was so inspiring. It was also interesting that many people told me they had never shared this with anyone. And sadly, they said no one had ever asked. And a lot of them were very cautious. They wanted to make sure they were anonymous. I wasn't going to say their names, even though it's been, you know, almost 30 years since the fall of communism. But honestly, it was an honor to hear their stories and now to share them.
What connections would you make to the pressure that American Christians are currently feeling from government institutions and the culture to conform to the party line?
Well, one of the connections that I made when I was doing my research that really stuck out to me was how Christians were painted as anti-science, they were bigots in the way of unity under communism. And you hear some of that language, obviously, in the U.S. today. So I would give Americans basically a warning and then also an encouragement. Communism looked great. It has many aspects that people today miss. In Slovakia, there was a focus on family. Some people miss the days of communism. And actually, even the clergy emphasized the social benefits. However, utopian ideas always sound great, but that's what makes them so dangerous. So we have to be very careful when we look at these ideas and how they actually will be implemented. My encouragement would be to stand strong. Many that I interviewed actually miss the days of communism in the sense that you couldn't be a lukewarm Christian. They said you really had to know what you believed because you had to be willing to pay the ultimate penalty for it. One pastor even described the church under communism as beautiful. And it was interesting. I interviewed some people who were confirmed, 1988, 1987, and asked, the end was in sight. You almost made it. And really, most people didn't think communism would ever end. And because they saw no hope on earth, they had to look to their home in heaven. So I would encourage Christians to take heart and be encouraged by the church that's been persecuted.
Someone may say, look, communism had its heyday in the 20th century. We've learned our lesson. Something like this can never happen again. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I would say that's maybe a little naive. Communism, is a world phenomenon. It happens all over the globe. And also, it happened fast in a lot of places. And it's constantly kind of being rebranded. I would say we should be very cautious in shifting from freedom of religion to freedom of worship, which ultimately becomes a facade of freedom.
Blythe Ann Barreto is academic dean at Lutheran High North in Houston, Texas. She's author of an article for Acta Missio Logia titled Comrades and Confirmands, Lutheran Education Under Communism. Blythe, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
If you're in the market for a new house this spring, be sure to contact Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU is committed to serving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community during April if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases. Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the LCMS Youth Gathering. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org. Rebecca Curtis joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about some Christian places to visit during your summer vacation. Yes, we could even call it pilgrimage. Stay tuned. Nicholas von Amsdorf was the only nobleman in Luther's inner circle, yet few people today have ever heard of him. Learn more about one of the first evangelical bishops in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Nicholas von Amsdorf, champion of Martin Luther's Reformation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Nicholas von Amsdorf.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Germantown, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee. Hope Lutheran, Sunbury, Ohio. And Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.